everybody, welcome to another episode of Classes of Mail. My name is Alan Gygax, and let me get a little business out of the way in the start. Oh, look, my voice is coming through nice and clear this time. All right, so that's something. I'm messing with the settings a little bit, but that's not why you're listening. So when I first started recording this podcast, my intention was to release an episode every 2 weeks. And then I decided I wanted to start reading the JCAM, the contract. And so I was releasing an episode every 2 weeks. And then in the week in between, I was doing a contract episode. And now I've gotten on this schedule where I'm trying to release 2 episodes a week. And a lot of the episodes need prep. I need to do a little research. I need to write out an outline, things like that. And I have all these other things going on. Like this weekend coming up, as I record this, what is today is like May 29th, I think. It's Wednesday, May 29th. And I have a trip to Bryce Canyon coming up this coming week. I'm going to be up there for 4 days. I just went hiking today after work. Tomorrow I have 2 interviews to do after work. And it's a lot. It's not, I mean, I ain't breaking rocks. Obviously, delivering the mail is physically demanding. But I also have a wife who I want to spend time with. And the reason I bring all this up is because let's manage our expectations here. 2 episodes a week is not necessarily going to be long-term sustainable unless other things in my life change. And I don't see that happening. Like, I'm getting ready to take this big trip to Machu Picchu in a month and a half, and I'm doing training hikes for that, and that's taking up a chunk of my time. And plus, I also want time to just, like, relax and sit out on the patio and have a cigar and things like that. So all of this stuff, there has to be a balance somewhere. So I will still release episodes every week. I may release 2 a week. You know, that would be wonderful, but no guarantees. So for right now, I'm going to release this episode, and this is going to be more Carrier Academy. It needs to be done, and so I want to continue getting through the Carrier Academy. And the good news, today we are on to Module 2 of the Carrier Academy, and that module is the Classes of Mail. And guys, this is the module that inspired this podcast, because this was always my favorite module to teach in the Academy. And yeah, part of how I teach it is by using this chart, and we're not going to be able to do a chart, so I'm going to have to do my best to describe it to you the way that I teach it so that you understand all the different classes of mail and how we treat the different things. So let's go through this. All right, Module 2, Classes of Mail. In this module, we're going to describe the characteristics of the different classes of mail. You're going to learn what the difference is between like first class, standard, media, nonprofit, all those different things. We're going to talk about how to identify what the class of mail is when you're looking at a mail piece. We're going to go over how we handle undeliverable mail of each class. And that's really the most important thing in this module. Because most of the time, 99% of the time, the class of mail that you're delivering does not matter. You're just putting it in the box. Once it gets to you, you put it in the box, and that's all there is to it. But in some circumstances, the class of mail becomes very important. And that is when that mail is undeliverable. So we'll go over that. And then we'll also talk about, as it relates to the classes of mail, we're going to talk about delaying mail. There's a very simple rule for delaying mail, which I'll tell you guys right now, which is you are not authorized to delay the mail. It is never up to you to delay the mail. That is something only management can do. All right, so with these different classes of mail, the delivery standards vary depending on what class it is. And what I mean by that is like how long it takes to get from point A to point B, whether it can be delayed, things like that are all determined by the class of mail. And the relationship between the class of mail and how we treat it is very straightforward. It's essentially the more someone pays for their mail, the better we're going to treat it, the faster it's going to get to where it's going. Topping out at Express Mail, which Priority Express will often get there overnight. So we go from that all the way down to like pre-sorted standard or nonprofit mail, where it can be delayed like every step of the journey up to the third day. And so it can take a long time to get from point A to point B, but it's also really cheap. So you get what you pay for. And then with the in that same spectrum, not only does it affect the speed, but it also affects what we're going to do with that mail if it's undeliverable when it finally gets to us as carriers. And how do you determine what class of mail something is? Well, it's really straightforward. You look at the postage. And the postage, in most cases, will tell you directly. It'll say right on the postage what class of mail it is. If you look up in the upper right corner of that envelope, it'll say right on it, standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound printed matter, media, first class, priority, express, whatever it is, it'll say it right in that postage area. Or sometimes you can tell by how much postage is affixed, you can get a sense of what class of mail it is. So when you get a piece of mail, you're going to do one of six things with it. The first most common thing you're going to do is you're going to deliver it. Mail comes to you in the morning, you deliver it, that's your job. That's what we do, we deliver the mail. If you don't deliver it, there are five other things that you might do with it. You might forward that mail. Say you go to deliver it. Oh, the Jacksons don't live there anymore. They moved to Mississippi. And they moved to Jackson, Mississippi. And so you're going to take that piece of mail and you're going to put it into our forwarding system to go on to the Jacksons in their new home in Jackson, Mississippi. Or maybe the Jacksons are on vacation and they want us to hold their mail at the post office. So instead of delivering it, we're going to hold their mail for them at the post office. If the mail is not ours to deliver, then we may put it in the throwback case. And we'll talk more about the throwback case in an upcoming module, but it's where you put mail that's not yours to deliver. Like you're getting mail ready in the morning and you see, oh, this is going to Appleton Street. You don't have Appleton Street on your route. So you're going to take that piece of mail instead of delivering it because you don't deliver to Appleton. You're going to take it to the throwback case. You may return that piece of mail to the sender. And if you do, you have to indicate the reason for non-delivery. So the Jacksons don't live there anymore. So, okay, I can't deliver it because there are no Jacksons here. I'm going to return it to sender. And the reason might be attempted not known, where I attempted to deliver it. There are no Jacksons at this address, so it's undeliverable. It might be insufficient address. We'll get into these more in a future module as well, the carrier endorsements. Insufficient address would be like, it's going to this apartment complex and it's 2800 Lam, but it doesn't have the apartment number. So I don't know what apartment the Jacksons live in. I can't deliver it. There's not enough information. So I'm going to return it as insufficient address. And the last thing that you might do with it, other than delivering it, is to put it into UBIM, the undeliverable bulk business mail. And that's the big takeaway that I want to give you guys from this module is what is undeliverable bulk business mail. Well, first of all, it's undeliverable, and that's why it's in this list of the six carrier actions, because number one, again, was deliver it, which is what you're going to do with almost all the mail. Then there's forward, return to sender, hold, like if they're on vacation, put it in a throwback case if it's not yours to deliver, or finally put it into the UBIM, undeliverable bulk business mail. So determining the class of mail is what you're going to do. Most of the time, you don't even pay attention. But if you find that mail piece is undeliverable, then you are going to look in the postage area and determine what class of mail it is. So it should say specifically what that class is. And it may be a class that's unfamiliar to you. And we'll get into how to deal with that in just a sec. You may be able to tell what class of mail it is by the specialized packaging. Like a priority mail is often in a box that says priority on it, and it'll have a red border. An express mail might be in a similar box, but it has a blue border. And so there are indicators that may tell you what class of mail it is, but usually it's just printed right on there. So you look in the postage, it tells you what it is. If it's just a regular stamp, that's going to be first class mail. And so you know, okay, this is first class mail. There is another class of mail that might not have the class written on it. In fact, there'll be no postage on it at all. And this is periodicals. So a periodical is like a magazine. And the postage for that is actually on the inside. It's in like the first three pages or the back three pages, but you're not going to go looking for it. Basically, if it looks like a magazine and you don't see any postage directly on it, then it's a periodical. And you'll hopefully you'll very quickly learn to recognize those things. they're different from catalogs. You know, they're shaped exactly like a catalog. They've got a cover. They've got a bunch of pages on the inside. But a catalog, if it's not a periodical, if it's like a piece of standard mail, then there will be a postage label on it that says, like, pre-sorted standard. If it's a periodical, it may not have that label. If it's wrapped in a plastic bag, then the bag should say periodicals on it. But again, if it's just like a regular magazine, it may not have that postage on it. You're going to treat it as periodical. All right, so this is the point in the class where I start drawing this chart. And I can't draw this chart for you. So let me describe what I do with this chart. Oh, that's not okay. Let me describe what I do with this chart, and that'll give you a sense of what I'm trying to accomplish in this module. So the mail classes that we're going to talk about divide into two basic categories. There's preferential mail and non-preferential mail. And all the pieces, as a carrier, right? Whatever happens in processing, that's its own thing. We don't have to worry about that. As carriers, any class of mail that's preferential, we're going to treat it all the exact same way. And any class of mail that's non-preferential, we're going to treat it all the exact same way. And so all we really need to know is which of these two broad categories does this class fall into? Well, if you go through all the different classes of mail, oh, that's Annie. Hold on just a sec. And I'm back. I don't even know what that was about. There wasn't even anybody here, but it's all right. Dogs are going to bark. Not quite sure where I left off. I was going through all the different classes of mail. So there's a bunch of preferential, there's a bunch of non-preferential. And if to know everything you need to know about the mail, all you really need to do is memorize the four non-preferential classes. And those four classes are standard, nonprofit, marketing, and bound printed matter. So standard mail is typically what most of our catalogs and advertisements are. And you'll know that it's standard mail because you're going to look up in the upper right corner and you're going to see in the postage area that it says standard or STD, which is the abbreviation for standard. Sometimes it'll say pre-sorted standard, but the pre-sorted doesn't mean anything to you and me as carriers. The pre-sorted affects postage along the way, and it's not something that you and I have to deal with. What we're looking for is standard. Whether it's pre-sorted or not, it's pretty much always pre-sorted, but that, again, that's not the important part. Standard. That is one of the non-preferential mail classes. Another non-preferential mail class is non-profit. Non-profit is for things like charities or, non-profit companies. So they can send stuff out nonprofit. They have to meet certain requirements. They probably have to be like a registered 501c3 or whatever it is. And they can send their stuff out nonprofit. And that's, again, going to be like solicitations or advertisements from charities. And how do you know it's nonprofit? Really straightforward. You look up in the upper right corner of that envelope or that flat or whatever it is, and it's going to say nonprofit, or it might be NP for nonprofit. Could be pre-sorted, it might not be, we don't care. We're looking for that thing that says nonprofit. And if you see it, then again, you know this is non-preferential mail, and we'll talk about what that means in just a second. Next is marketing mail, and you might see an abbreviation MKT for marketing. Could be pre-sorted, might not be, but that's marketing mail. That is another non-preferential mail class. And that's going to be treated in this manner. And then the last one is BPM, bound printed matter. And it'll either say bound printed matter or it'll have the abbreviation BPM in the postage area. And one of the things that's tricky about bound printed matter is this is like the big, thick catalogs. Bound and printed means that it has a binding like a catalog would or even a book. And there's printed matter on the inside, like advertisements in the catalog, you know, product descriptions. But it might be an actual book. You know, some catalogs look like books. The one that you're going to see most of the time is like the Uline or the Granger catalog. And those are bound printed matter. They're big, they're heavy, they're bulky. And sometimes they can look like parcels. And this is why it's important to look at the postage when you're deciding what you're going to do with a mail piece. Because just because it looks like a parcel, that still might be just a catalog or a sample or something like that that is a non-preferential mail piece. And if it's not deliverable, it's going to go into the UBM, the undeliverable bulk business mail. And let's talk about bound printed matter in particular to kind of elucidate why this stuff goes into the UBM. So with bound printed matter, let's think about the Uline catalog. This is a catalog that gets sent out that has a bunch of like office and business supplies in it. Like if you need a big mixer, or if you need a, I don't know, a bunch of tables, you know, stuff like that. All that stuff are like big spools of like packing paper. All that stuff is in the Uline catalog. And it's sold, or it's sent out to businesses because businesses buy the stuff from Uline, you know, to supply their business. So if you're Uline, if you are the company, Uline, and you're going to send these out to a bunch of businesses, it's really expensive to send these big, heavy catalogs out to all these businesses. And so if you were to send one, let's say, I don't know where Uline is based. Let's just say Milwaukee. All right, so you're Uline, you're in Milwaukee, and you have a catalog that you want to send to the Jackson family that just moved to Jackson, Mississippi. You take that big catalog down to the post office and you go to mail it, and it might cost you like $6 to mail that catalog because it's big and heavy and it's going across the country, and that's expensive. But because you're going to send this out in bulk, the easier thing to do, what might be cheaper for you, is let's say you know that you're going to send 5,000 catalogs to Jackson, Mississippi, because there's so many businesses down there. So what you do instead of mailing them off one at a time is you put all of those catalogs on a big pallet, and you put that pallet in the back of a truck, and then that truck drives it down to Jackson, Mississippi. And so instead of spending, you know, if you 5,000 of them, $6 a piece, you're $30,000. Instead of spending $30,000, you're spending like $1,200 to get that pallet. I don't know what it costs, but let's say $1,200 to get that pallet on the back of a truck and deliver it all the way down to Jackson, Mississippi. Then what happens is at the post office in Jackson, at the processing and distribution center, it gets, that pallet gets broken open, and those catalogs get sorted down to the routes where they will eventually come to you as the carrier in your residual flats in the morning in that bucket for you to case up. And that part of the processing, you know, that's a lot cheaper than mailing it across the country. So the post office might only charge 50 cents for that. So now you've spent $1,200 instead of $30,000. And then for the processing, you spent 50 cents times 5,000, however many I said, 6,000. So that's another 3,000. So let's say you spend like $5,000 total to send out these catalogs. It's a hell of a lot cheaper than $30,000. But it means you had to do a lot of the heavy lifting, like getting it all the way to Jackson, Mississippi. You have to make sure the labels are correct, that everything on that pallet is intended for that processing center, and so on. And then the post office delivers it what we call the last mile, and that's all you're paying for. So that's a pretty good deal. So now let's say we have this catalog that's going to Jackson Home Furnishings. And so great, the carrier delivers it to Jackson Home Furnishings, but they get to Jackson Home Furnishings and they realize, oh, this company has gone out of business. And so now this piece of mail is undeliverable. Well, if you're, well, let's do a different scenario first, because often these Ulines in particular will say Jackson Home Furnishings or current business, whatever business is in there. So instead of Jackson Home Furnishings, now it's a Conn's Furniture instead. And so Conn's Furniture could use a Uline catalog. So Uline's like, hey, whatever business is there, just go ahead and deliver it to them. It's not always that way, but in this case it is. So you're just going to deliver to whoever's there because it says Jackson or current business. But if that business is closed altogether and it's just a vacant building now, now it's going to be undeliverable. So think about this if you're Uline. If you're Uline, what do you want done with that catalog? Do you want the post office to ship it back to you? If you do that, it's going to cost you that like $6, you know, to get the address on it, send it all the way back to Milwaukee. It's going to be $6 to send that back to you. And if you're Uline in Milwaukee and all these catalogs start coming back to you, you know, thousands of them from around the country that were undeliverable at $6 a piece, now you got a problem. Because A, it's a lot of money, and B, what are you going to do with all these catalogs? You can't like really repackage them and send them back out because you got to go through that whole process again. And by the time they get sent back out, now it's like the new quarter and you've got different products, different prices. It's not practical. Likewise, if Jackson Home Furnishings just moved to somewhere across town, or maybe even across, let's say they moved to Alaska, right? First they moved to Jackson, now they moved to Alaska. Do you want to pay to get that catalog forwarded to where they are now in Alaska? You know, they moved into some furniture warehouse building in Alaska. If you're Uline, do you want to pay to get it forwarded to Alaska? Again, we're going to spend like $6 to get this thing forwarded. Uline says, no, I don't want to spend that because A, maybe a new furniture, you know, maybe Conn's is now in this building and we could just deliver it to them. Or wherever the Jacksons move to in Alaska, and they're probably getting a Uline catalog there too, so don't worry about it. So what Uline says is, if this piece is undeliverable, if the catalog is undeliverable, I don't want it forwarded because it's not worth spending that money. I don't want it back because, again, it's not worth spending that money. And what would I do with it? So they tell the post office that in case my bulk business mail is undeliverable, just go ahead and recycle it. Just drop it into the shredder. I don't want it back. Just recycle it. And that's why it goes into the undeliverable bulk business mail. And that is the case for all four of these non-preferential classes of mail: standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound printer matter. If they are undeliverable, then they go into the UBM to eventually be shredded and recycled. So that's what we do with it. All of the preferential classes, we don't put those into the UBM because they're paying enough that they do want something done with it. Like, we'll go back to the magazine example. Periodicals are a preferential mail class. And think about if you subscribe to, I don't even know what magazines there are anymore, because most of them are like defunct. But let's say it's Maxim magazine. That's one that I remember from back in the day. That Mr. Jackson subscribes to Maxim magazine and their Hot 100 just came out this month. Well, if he moved from wherever he was living before, now he's in Jackson, Mississippi, do you think he wants that Maxim magazine? Of course he does. The Hot 100 came out. He's got to see who's on the Hot 100 list this month. And so Maxim is paying a preferential mail class and they want that forwarded to where Mr. Jackson lives now. Or if it's not deliverable, they want it back because they'll keep it in their archives or they'll repackage it, send it back out to somebody else, you know, whatever it is. And so that's a piece that if it was not deliverable, we would not put it into the UBM. And that's the case for all of the preferential mail classes. It doesn't matter what preferential mail class it is. They're all treated the same by you. Again, they if they're not deliverable, they're either going to be forwarded or returned. They do not go into the UBM. So the classes that can go into the UBM: standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound printer matter. Every other class cannot go into the UBM. It has to be either forwarded or returned if it's not deliverable. So some of the classes that are preferential, we've got first class, we've got periodicals, we've got priority, express, media mail, ground advantage. The list goes on. All these classes that for us as carriers are treated as preferential mail. There's international mail. You know, there's a bunch that are all treated as preferential. I don't care about those. Those are all the same. All you need to know are the four classes that are non-preferential, and that's standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound printer matter. That's it. So this makes things easier on you as a carrier, because imagine that you encounter a class of mail that you've never seen before. Let's say that there's silver class mail. What do I do with silver class mail? Well, the answer is really easy. You treat it as preferential mail, because the only non-preferential classes are standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound printer matter. So if it's not one of those, then it's preferential and you cannot put it into the UBM. All right. So those are the basics. And when I'm teaching this class, I have this chart that I put up on one of the whiteboards, and there's a big line across the middle of it, a horizontal line. And above the line, I put preferential, and I start listing off the different types. And below the line, I put non-preferential, and below the line is the standard, nonprofit, marketing, bound printer matter. And now I can do quizzes with the class where I hand out pieces of mail. And I tell them, hey, is this preferential or non-preferential? And they can tell me, you know, they look at the chart and say, oh, this is nonprofit, so that's non-preferential. Okay, if that were undeliverable, can that go into the UBM? Yes, it can, because it's one of those non-preferential classes. All right, so that's all on that for now. We're going to get back to this, and we're going to work with it a little bit as the academy goes on, but that's your foundation. That's how you know the difference between preferential and non-preferential mail. So let's talk about express mail, and then probably after this, we'll call it for the day. All right, express mail, is this a preferential or non-preferential mail class? It is preferential. That's right. Some of you out there probably at least said that. So Priority Mail Express provides delivery. It's our fastest delivery service. It gets there typically in 1 or 2 days. And we do this every day of the year. People can pay extra to get it delivered on Sunday or holidays. And it is supposed to be delivered by 6 p.m. Whatever day it gets there, it gets delivered by 6 p.m. And last I heard, this is guaranteed. That if it doesn't get there in time, the sender can request a refund and get the money that they paid back. We provide free boxes or envelopes for this. If you're going to ship something express, you don't have to have an envelope. You can use one of our Priority Express envelopes at no additional charge. You can also send your own envelope or your own box as Priority Mail Express, and it'll get weighed and, you know, however they determine how much the postage is. But that's Express. Express gets to where it's going. You'll get it from your accountables clerk, and then it has to be delivered that day by 6 p.m. All right. Or it needs, well, I shouldn't say it has to be delivered by 6 p.m. because it may not be deliverable. It needs what's called a stop the clock scan, where it has to be scanned as delivered or attempted or undeliverable or forwarded, some final disposition of it by 6 p.m. that day. And you'll scan it according to what the situation actually is. What you will not do is scan it as no access. That is bogus. You won't scan it as business closed either, unless the business that you're delivering to, Jackson Home Furnishings, is really closed for the day. You know, maybe it's Monday, and for whatever reason they're closed on Monday. Like a beauty salon is closed on Monday. So if it's Monday, then yeah, you can scan it as closed business. But don't you dare do that falsified scan where you're just trying to get it off your scanner, and so you just scan it as closed business or no access. That's bogus. We don't do that. Whatever you scan it as, that's got to be the truth. All right, also with Express Mail, sometimes it needs a signature and sometimes it doesn't. So most of the time, you're going to have these electronically created labels, and it has the barcode on it, and usually it'll have a little QR code looking thing too that has the same numbers as the barcode. So you scan that, you mark it as delivered, and your scanner knows, because that information is embedded in the barcode, your scanner knows whether or not it needs a signature, and it will prompt you accordingly. It'll say, you know, it'll only give you the option, like left with individual, front desk, the ones that could have a person present. If it doesn't need a signature, then it'll give you the option like left in the mailbox, at the front door, whatever it happens to be. And typically the label will make it very clear. It'll say express signature confirmation, or express and it'll say signature waived, whatever it is, very clear on the label. And your scanner knows as a double check. But the handwritten labels, they just have a checkbox on them. And the checkbox says signature required. And so if it's checked, then you're going to have to get a signature for it. If it's not checked, then you can just leave it in the mailbox or wherever you might leave it. But your scanner doesn't have a way to know whether that box is checked or not. Sorry, I got a little far away from the microphone for a second. Anyway, your scanner doesn't have a way to know whether that box is checked or not, because it was just marked with a pen. The barcode is the same no matter what. And so in this case, your scanner will actually ask you, does this package have a waiver of signature? And you have to look and see, does it say that it requires a signature or does it not say that it requires a signature? And you'll answer your scanner's question, and then it will take you to the appropriate delivery screen, you know, where you can either just leave it in the mailbox or you have to get a signature or whatever. And Express Mail is typically pretty easy to identify because it'll either be in a box or envelope with the blue border around it, or it'll specifically say Express on it, or there'll be like a big E in the printed label that lets you know that it's Express. All right, that's going to do for now. When we come back in the next Academy episode, we will talk about first class mail and other classes of mail as well, and like how to recognize them and what they are. But generally, you're just going to look in the postage area and it will specifically say. All right, so with that done, thank you guys for listening. That will wrap us up for the day, and I guess that's it. I will catch you all next time.